Come on. Worship Him. Worship Him. Give the Lord your strength. Sometimes we give Him a little bit of what we feel like we have in reserve or that we're not using, but the Word says, give the Lord your strength. Give the Lord your strength. Give the Lord the glory due His name. It involves you when you do. It involves you in all that God is. God doesn't have anything on reserve for you. Everything God has, the Word says He freely gives. He says if you will ask, and you know what asking really is, it's just having an empty space that God can fill. You can take your seats this morning, but I don't know, I feel something here. I just feel an excitement in this place today. Just feel excited to pull on heaven, to hear God speak. If you're hungry, He said, if you're hungry, He said, oh, I will fill you. If you are hungry, I will fill you. He says, if you're thirsty, I'll give you water. But have you ever had your dessert before you had the main course? Anyone in here? And then it's like, man, I'm so full. I don't feel like eating, you know. I don't eat a lot of bread anymore. I haven't for probably over a year, but I love bread. Anyone in the house love bread? I think bread's just a blessing from God. But I'll tell my wife sometimes, you know me. You know my weakness. It's bread. And pasta. But she'll say to me, she'll say, after I... You know, if I break away from the from the not having bread thing and I start dipping in, I get started. You know what I'm talking about. It's just you can't stop. And she'll say to me, don't fill up on bread. Okay. So I'm telling you today, don't fill up on the heavy stuff. Let God be the fullness. If you're just hungry, we can fill our minds with everything we want God to do for us. God, do this, if you would do that. But how often do you say, Father, tell me what you want me to pray. Tell me what you want me to want. One of the most powerful prayers you will ever pray is saying, God, tell me what you want me to desire. Put in my heart the desire of your heart. Put in me what is really important to you. Make me hungry. Make me thirsty. And the key to that prayer being answered is to just empty yourself and say, God, there's a lot of things. And you know there's a lot of things you could want and hope for. But God, my biggest desire is to want what you want for me. To be hungry, to be thirsty for what you want me to be hungry and thirsty for. And I'm telling you, this is a life-changing moment. This is these prayers, these times where we really just seek after the heart of God. It changes everything. It changes the way you think. I'm going to share something with you today that is going to, if you will hear, and I'm prophesying, you have the ears to hear what God is saying. If you will hear, it's going to help change your mind into the likeness of God. That's how you were created in the beginning. God created us in His likeness and in His image. And if you'll hear, and the key is saying, I'm going to listen. God, I don't want what I want. I want what you want. Stand with me one more time. Let's just do that. You know, you ever sense the presence of the Lord wanting to do something that maybe you hadn't anticipated? Wanting to move. I'm sensing that today. Something's going on here, out there. Something unique. Today is a unique day. Today is a unique day. It's not a sulfur day. It's not a fire day. It's not a brimstone day. This is not a day of judgment or bad things. This is a day of heaven echoing into us, echoing the favor of God. And in that favor, you have favor with God, everything's just always going to be better than all right. When you have favor with God, you're walking in the favor of the Lord. Everything just unfolds so beautifully. Do you know what I'm saying? Things just happen. So much of our lives, so much of what we deal with, so often are things you hadn't anticipated. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Oh, I didn't know this was going to happen. But favor does something different. Favor from God is God's path. It's God's mind that leads you in that way. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, mean this with your heart. Everyone here, everyone watching today, say, Father, one and only God, creator of all that is, all that has ever been, and all that will ever be, my God, I pray that you would answer me according to your will, even before I ask, put in your heart, in my heart, your heart. Let's try it again. Put in my heart, your heart. Give me a hunger and a desire, like a deer panting after the water. Let that be in me. I hunger for you. Now you have to speak out. I hunger for you. I thirst for your will. Your divine nature, for which I was created to receive. Your divine nature. Let it work its way past my will. Let your nature and your heart be mine. My prayer today, O God, make your heart my heart and your will my will. God has destined you for favor. He really, really has. He's really, sincerely destined you for favor. You can take your seats. He's destined you to have insight, to be insightful to his will, to know. God wants you to know this is the will of God. And in the will of God, you become a different kind of vessel. You become a different type of instrument in the will of God. Out of you, the word says, out of our bellies will flow rivers of life-giving water, and from you flows peace. Your presence just brings peace. You know when you're walking in the Spirit because your presence just conveys peace. It just conveys a sense of assurance, a sense that everything is going to be all right. But I want to tell you something today. There's better than all right. There's better than just okay. There's better than God make this work out. There's so much more than just make things right, fix things. And it's really important to break away from the idea of the old just getting fixed and adjusted and set your mind, as the Word says, on being a new creature, becoming new. I mean, I remember when God changed my life as a young man, and he's done a lot of transforming in me through the years, but every time that God does something that just changes my mind, there's such a sense of power, such a sense of accomplishment, such a sense of yeah. Go ahead and say yeah. And it's something that cannot be explained. It's a power that Adam and Eve walked in. They walked in a power in the Genesis of time. And I reflect and refer to Genesis often because you see the mind of God being shared with his creation and with heaven. I mean, heaven was looking at you then saying, what is this that you're creating? We've not seen anything like this. In the beginning, God created. Now, God has always been, but he created. And based on the genealogy, the earth is about 6,000 years ago. I know there's a lot of goofiness out there about it being billions of years old, but it's not. It's just not. When God said he began something, that's what he did. And the word of God is sure, and yes, and in him, amen. So we're about 6,000 years into walking according to the voice of the Lord or rejecting the voice of the Lord. But it's in walking in the word and the will of the Lord. How many are aware that if you do what God wants you to do, things just turn out incredible? And if you don't, they turn out really bad. But Paul said, the thing that I want to do, I don't do. And the thing that I don't want to do, I end up doing. Okay? And a lot of people stop right there. A lot of ministers stop right there and say, that's the way we are. But that's not what Paul said. Paul was describing something, and if you read on, he continues to say, but who will deliver me from this body of sin, he calls it. He said, now. He was talking about the way he was. He said, but now, I thank God that with my mind I can serve the Lord. In other words, there's something that's taken place in me that makes me want to do what God wants to do. And there's a power on the inside of me that makes it easy to do. Remember, the word says that the word is not burdensome. Do you know what that means? It means it's not hard to do. And when it becomes difficult, it's a sign, it's an arrow saying something isn't coming together correctly. When it's difficult to do the will of God, it's because your will is in the way. It's just that simple. And the power of God that works in us from the time that we get born again, you get saved, to God healing you or blessing you with in multifaceted ways that he does, it's all conveyed through something that you are in control of. You are in control. Everything that God does is conveyed through something you are in control of. Everything. Everything that God does in your life is conveyed, it emanates through something you are in control of. So if you've ever wondered, God, why does it seem like you're not answering me? He is answering you, but God also is presenting something for you. There's something called a free will offering. You ever read about that in the Bible? In the Old Testament, they brought a free will offering. If you cut it short, just simply say it like this. They brought their will willingly. They made an offering of their will. Now, that word free will offering means not of compulsion, meaning it wasn't a commandment that God said you must do. It wasn't part of the law. It wasn't something that a king said do. It was something that the people would do willingly. They would just willingly do it. They did it in excess. They did it with Solomon. When they just brought it was called a free will offering, and they brought in abundance. And when they brought a free will offering, this is not about offering today. Well, it kind of is. It's about the offering of your will. When they brought a free will offering, the blessing of the Lord presided over their will. In other words, the word says that God has so many good things. His desire for you is so good, but you keep messing it up. You keep getting your will in the way, and you keep continue to thwart God's plan to bring in abundance everything that God has for you in every form, every fashion, every way that you could possibly imagine. God brings it to you. I have said many times, God, I thank you that you've given me everything that I've ever wanted. You've given me everything that I prayed. You've given me everything that I believe for. You've given me everything. And yet there's so many things I am still hopeful for. And there are a lot of people that would say, well, we have more of this than you. We've got more of that than you. We have this and that. There's no comparison. What I'm saying is everything that I wanted was that I found the will of the Lord to be the most prominent, most important thing that there is. It just is. To know the will of the Father is to have everything that you desire. To know how to bring your will and make it an offering to God is the most empowering thing you will ever do. And you won't want to. You won't want to. Your will is not about a yes. Your will is about a no. We did a podcast not that long ago, and it was the power and the blessing of no. Celebrate a no. Years ago, I was praying with someone about, this was a business dealing, it was a big deal and a lot of money, and I was praying, and I do that with people, different people from time to time. They'll call and inquire of the Lord about something financial or business-wise or whatever. Not some people, a number of people. And I'll say what God says to me to say, if he says anything. If he doesn't, I keep my mouth shut. I don't say anything. And we've been praying about this certain thing, and it came time, and the answer came, and it was no. We'd been celebrating yeses. And I said to this individual, I said, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to be upset. What we're going to do tonight, we're going to go out and have dinner, and we're going to celebrate a no. We're going to celebrate the no. If we can celebrate the yes, then why can't we celebrate the no if God is directing our every step? Shouldn't we be as excited about a no as we are about a yes? So, in that order, and by the way, celebrate Thanksgiving in your nation, in your country. Okay? That was a word for someone. God is doing something here. He wants you occupied in faith here. So just do that. The will, the word, and the wisdom of the Lord is conveyed through something that you are in power of, that you have control over. Now, people like to say, God is in control of my life. No, he's not in control of your life, or you'd do a lot of things a lot different. You just never do the dumb things that we do. God's in control of my life. No, God's not dumb. He's not stupid. He doesn't do things you do. God is holy, he's wise, his way is perfect, the word tells us. So don't blame God for your stupid. Okay? Don't blame God for your stupid. Just blame him for who he is. He's good and perfect in every way. But his thoughts towards you are good. But what God has done is he has put you in control of making decisions that he is willing to empower you in when you do it according to his will. Now this is what you have to come to the conclusion of, is that God's will is the greatest thing in your life. God's will bless you more than your will ever bless you. God's will help you. It will satisfy you. It will keep you. It will heal you. And it will keep you from a lot of things you just shouldn't have to ever go through in your life. God's will do that. Your will lead you into things where you're questioning God, asking him why he let this happen to you. And God is saying, why don't you tell me why you let this happen to you? Because I didn't do it. I told you how not to go here. See, it's the power of no. We think about, it's the power of no. Just say it's the power of no that blesses me. See, in the garden, it wasn't, God said this to Adam and Eve. He said, I've given you the garden, the entire garden, every plant, every herb, every tree that is pleasant to the eye and good for food. Everyone, all of them. And he literally says, over the face of all the earth, the entire earth, it belongs to you. And you can eat freely, which means you can eat all the fruit and the pasta and the bread that you want. And that was a yes. Everything. And all of creation will surrender to your faithfulness and obedience to me. Everything will be subdued by you. Just walk there. That commandment still remains today, but there's something associated with the effectiveness of that word that empowers you to do the will of the Father, okay? And God says, so it's all yours. He said, there is one tree in the midst of the garden. And that tree is a what? No. No. Not. The Hebrew word is lo. Just L-O. Lo. Lo. God said, you shall lo eat of that. You shall not eat of that. And lo in Hebrew is the same word for no as it is for not. But the implication's different because not means don't take to yourself. Same Hebrew spelling, But the implication, the meaning, is a bit different. It is, don't take to yourself. Don't get for yourself this tree. Every other tree is a yes. Every other tree is a yes. If you have an earth filled with a yes, that should bless you, right? That should be all you ever need, except for one, just one no, one no. There's one no. There's one no in somebody's life here today. There's one no. You just need to learn to celebrate that one no. And if you do, all the yes will bless you. But see, the power, yes pleases you, but no empowers you. Because no says, to your will, not yours, God's. That's what no says. Not your will, God's. And your will is of your greatest gifts, because by your will, your faith is exercised. By your will, God is changing the course of our world today, forever. It will be changed forever. I've prophesied a few months ago, beginning of the year, over the next 3 years, God is going to bring transition throughout the world, through His Word, through revelation, through insight. The demographic of our world is changing. The mentality of our world is changing, and it will be changed forever. It will never be what it was, just like the world will never go back to the way it was prior to COVID. And I prophesied that, and here we are today, and it will never go back. God has set His sign in the earth. He has set His sign in the heavens. And His sign is, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the will of God. If you think about dying and go to heaven, think about dying to yourself and living in heaven. Why can't we do that? That's what Jesus did. Jesus had to experience a no. He went into the wilderness and He was led up by the Spirit to be tempted. And what Jesus was empowered to do was to say no. If you will throw yourself off, God will bear you up. No. If you will turn these stones into bread, if you're the Son of God, no. For it is written, man shall not live. Everything was no. In the wilderness, everything was no. The power, the overcoming power, wasn't yes, it was no. In the garden, if yes was the blessing, they had a trillion to one yeses. But the yes wasn't the blessing, because it wasn't the power. The no was the blessing, because the no wields the power. God said no. God said, I have to put one tree. I have to put something in the garden. Now, it didn't look any better than any other tree. Read the Word. God says, I've given you every tree and every plant over the entire face of the earth. It is pleasing to the eye and it is good for food. When Eve saw the tree that God said, you shall not touch it. Don't let no be a temptation. Let no be your yes. No is the power to all the other yeses. No is the power of blessing. God is going to allow you to see or to have or to be presented with something that requires a fervent no. God said, no. Not my will, your will be done. Because the power to rule in the world wasn't that God had given them everything they could have possibly ever desired, because in all that God had given Adam and Eve, it didn't satisfy them. Because the no is required in order to celebrate the yeses. It is required, because it is our part of taking part with the nature of God. So God says, I'm going to give you something that is going to be desirable to the flesh, because you have to know the flesh is your enemy. I am your friend. The Word says the natural mind of the flesh, the carnal mind, the thoughts, the desires, they're an enemy of God. But human individuals tend to think, people tend to think, that means I don't get something that I want. No, it means you don't get something you're going to hate. It means you're not going to get something that you're going to try to have to get rid of. It means something doesn't cling to you like a leech that you have to pry off of your flesh, because God is saying, I plan, my thoughts and my plans for you are so many and so good you could not possibly fathom nor count them. They're exceeding, abundant, and beyond all you know to ask or think, according to the power of God that works on the inside of you. And church, that's just the way it is. Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. We have Ten Commandments. And in those commandments, we have 11 no's. If you keep the first commandment, and we should keep it. We're not saved through the commandments, but God said he was not destroying the law. He said, I will write it in your heart and in your mind. You won't live by it. You will live by Jesus Christ and by the power of the new covenant. But when you do, and as you do, that law will be alive on the inside of you because it will become you. What law would we do away with the Ten Commandments? What is the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before you. 20 verse 1, Exodus 20 verse 1. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not, make any gods or any images to yourself. Literally, you will create images in the likeness of your mind and they will become gods to you. If you do that, you can't keep any of the other commandments. If you keep the first one, you'll keep them all. After the second one, if you breach that, you'll break them all. It's easy. How do I keep the will and the word of God? Have no other God before him. What was the fall in the beginning in the heavens of God? I will be like God. I will be God. What did the serpent say to Eve? If you eat of this, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This is what he said literally. The minute that you do this, your mind will be altered. Knowing good, you will have chosen evil. That's what he was saying. The literal interpretation is, you will know, so they knew good. You will know good, but you will know that you have chosen evil. And in the day that you do, in dying, you will die. Meaning, the moment that you do, death begins to work its way in you. What is death? Your will, not mine. And it will alter how you think. It will alter your understanding. The word says, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your mind. He will direct your heart. He will direct your thoughts. Surrender of your will is what affects and changes your mind. If you reject it, your mind becomes altered from your purpose and your call, from your peace and your joy, from good decisions to bad decisions. Instead of being a vessel of joy, a vessel that brings peace, a vessel that brings comfort, a vessel that out of you flows rivers of life-giving water, you bring contention, you bring doubt, you bring discord, you bring war, you bring dispute, you bring all those things that are killing you. God said, in the day that you doubt me and obey your will, the day that you do this, you will die, and in dying, you will continue to die. Not only will you continue to die, but you will kill everything on the earth. Now we think about them dying, but there was no death before sin. There was no death. It didn't exist. There was no death. Nothing died. No one died. Trees didn't die. Nothing died. Everything that was eaten was assimilated by the body. It was a different world. Everything was good. Everything God made became a part of you, and it nourished you, and it made you strong. But the power to keep the word of God was in celebrating the no. God said, don't, so I celebrate every time I pass that tree. I honor the word of the Lord. I bless the name of God at all times. His praise is continually in my mouth. The first commandment is a no. Have no other gods before you. Don't make yourself a god. Well, how do I make a graven image? We think today that we no longer make graven images. People make them every day, all the time. You are the ultimate god in your life, as it was when Satan fell. You become the ultimate god because you choose to try and implicate God in your decision. You try to make it sound like it's His will, but His will brings peace and joy and life and love and contentment and soundness and peace and wisdom and understanding. Your mind is lit up with insight. God said to Adam and Eve, I have given you the power. When God created them, He said, let's give them dominion and power. What that meant was, let's give them a reasoning mind after the word of God. Let's give them a reasoning mind after the word of God. In other words, what I tell them will make sense to them. They will have the understanding. So God proves it. He says, Adam, name all the animals. Adam had no clue. Adam didn't make up a name. God knew the name of every animal that He had created. He didn't wait to see, I wonder what this is going to be called. God knew an elephant was an elephant, a giraffe was a giraffe, a lion was a lion. He made it. He knew what it was, but He said, Adam, hear my will. What is that? And the word says, Adam said it's a lion. And the word says, whatever He called it, that was in fact its name. That was the name thereof. Read the word. That's what it says. That was the name God told Adam to call it. And Adam could hear God because he was mindful of the will of the Lord. And it was power to him. And whatever he called it was accurate. Yes, that is a lion, Adam. What is that? Giraffe. It's like prophecy. It's like the word of knowledge. Yes, that is a giraffe. What is that? A monkey. Yes, that is a monkey, Adam. What is that? That's your wife. God says, that's my wife. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He could hear God, and there was no conflict. There was no tension. Peace. When God is doing something in your life, peace is there. Joy is there. When your mind is disrupted, you're thinking about something incorrectly. Even if a challenge comes into your life and you lose your peace, you're thinking about it wrong. We all have to practice that. We all have to exercise ourselves in that office. How do I know if I'm thinking about this correctly? Does peace follow it? Does peace pursue your thoughts, the way you're thinking, the way you're trying to figure it out? I say all the time, stop trying to figure it out. What do we do, Leanne? Find it out. Seek and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. Ask, and it shall be given. We know all about tithing. We know about offerings. So typically in most churches comes time for tithing. People bring 10%. Not 10.1 or 10.5, but they bring 10%. And some people are very specific about that. Well, let me tell you something. There is power in going overboard. It's called a free will offering. It's in the Old Testament. It's also in Corinthians in the New. God says, bring an offering willingly. That meant not obligation. Don't feel that you have to. Not a compulsion. A free will offering. David did it. Moses did it. The people of Israel did it to build a house of God. The word says it's a free will offering. And then the word says God loves a cheerful giver. Now we're talking about offering. I'm bringing an offering. I brought my tithe. That is a commandment of the Lord. I'm not giving God anything. It belongs to Him. He said, the tithe is mine. It belongs to me. This is you acknowledging that I've made the provision for you. Bring your tithe. That's the word of the Lord. It's never changed. It didn't go away in the New Testament. Jesus said, you should pay tithe of mint and rue and everything else. But He said, you need to make sure the outside or the inside is as clean as the outside. In other words, you need to do this from a right heart. Okay? An offering is important. It declares your thankfulness. It's a point of worship. Tithe is not worship. Tithe is obedience to the Word of God. Very important. You should do that. But a free will offering is worship. It demonstrates thanksgiving. God loves a cheerful giver that doesn't do it because he has to, but because they want to. I bring this free will offering. The favor of God fell when people brought a free will offering. Why? Because they were offering their will to God as a living sacrifice. Paul said it like this: I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, that you make the presentation. God's not making you do it. You present yourself a willing sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is your reasoning, your reasonable service. This is your worship. This is true worship. God, I come and I willingly offer my will to you as a sacrifice. Our political world would change dramatically if we would just say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. I have no confidence in flesh, in arms of men. My confidence is in the will and the hand of Almighty God. All the nations and every decision rests upon the hand of Mighty God. I believe fervently when we have an evil ruler, it's because the heart of the people is not repentive. When we have a blessed ruler, it is because the heart of the people have sought the favor of God. You have the power to do and to make the changes in your life that God will empower you to do. You have something that controls everything that God is able to do in your life. It is called your will. He's given you. When he said, let them have power and dominion, he was saying, let them have a free will. Let them willingly, that's why God gives us his word instead of making us do the word. We have to decide. That's the power of your will. That is taking dominion over your flesh, over your mind. That is a sacrifice to God. And when you do it, you feel peace. You feel joy. Contention, fighting, all the turmoil in your mind is overcome by the will of God. What is his will? Peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give to you. Not as the world, not as your will gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God is giving us a command, and that power, the authority to make the change is the power of our will. God is not in control. He put you in charge. He's in control of honoring you when you obey his word. But God has said, you are in charge. You take dominion. You walk in the blessing and you walk in the favor of the Lord by presenting your will. If you learn to celebrate the no's, God, I asked you to do this and you didn't do it. How about instead of saying that, what about saying this, God, the answer was no, I'm going to celebrate your no. Because God's no is his finger pointing to endless yeses of blessing and favor and honor and peace and wisdom and insight. If you're an individual that just gives out of your will, well, let me tell you what's been happening. You've been bringing a free will offering to the Lord. You have honored yourself. You have blessed yourself. You have covered yourself. You have clothed yourself in the honor and the favor of God because God loves a willful, cheerful giver. I present my will to you, O God. I know what I would want, but what I want right now, my greatest desire, your kingdom come. Jesus said, when they asked him, how do we pray? He said, pray like this, your kingdom come. Here's a prayer you should pray. Your will be done. That's what you should be praying. Your kingdom be revealed in me. Your will be done. Jesus said, this is the prayer. He said, these people are out here praying long, lengthy, breathy prayers, just going on and on and on, heaping up words. He says, it means nothing to me. What means something to me? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Imagine asking Jesus, Jesus, how should I pray? And he says, here's the prayer. Here's the prayer. Pray God's will would be done in your life. Go milk the cow. Go ride the camel. Go plant the field. Just pray that and mean it. Your will be done. God, your will be done. Learn to celebrate the no's, and you'll have a lot more yeses you'll be able to enjoy and celebrate. And the peace and the comfort and the confidence and the joy of God is with you. God is not, there is no negative. God is not against you in the no. He is for you celebrating the no. I asked God to do it, and the answer was no. Celebrate it. It will bless you. It will keep you. It will comfort you. It'll elevate you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did it. They were in a province where they were subject to the law of the king. King said, worship the idol. Everybody did, except four guys. And they said, no. And they said, not only do we say no, but we say we will not be slow to say no. We have one God and one God alone. And we will not bow down. There's that word again, not. We will not bow down. No way will we serve your God. No way will we surrender our faith and God's will in our heart. And they threw them in the fire. And it didn't hurt them. The only thing that happened was what bound them fell off. What is binding your mind will fall off when you accept the no of God and you celebrate it as the will of the Lord. You celebrate it as much as you would ever celebrate a no. Because if you believe your steps are ordered of God, why wouldn't you? If you believe that the Lord has orchestrated your steps, God's trying to teach you something in the no. God's trying to keep you from something in the no. Or God just wants to empower you through the no. But just, I guess God said no is not good enough. You need to celebrate the no. You'd find out, number one, you'd enjoy the no a whole lot more. Number two, peace would come into you a whole lot more. Number three, you'll be empowered a whole lot more. And number four, you will lose the fear of something you want not happening. I celebrate your no, God. God didn't give it to you. No, he gave you an entire earth filled with every good, pleasant thing. The word says Eve looked at the tree and it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired. Well, God said that about every other tree in the garden. He said, every tree that I have given you is pleasing to the eye, and it is good for food. It didn't have, that tree of knowledge of good and evil didn't have anything any better than the trees that God had planted in the garden. But it did hold one authority that none of the others had. It was empowering. Every other tree that they could eat from wasn't empowering. It was pleasant to the eye, and it was good for food. But only that one tree that God said is a no was empowering. When you keep what God has said and you celebrate the no's, because you're going to get them. And you need to realize that's God's hand of favor on my life. He's giving me power to take dominion over my life. He's giving me the power to take charge over my life. He's given me what he wanted me to have from the beginning, what he wanted mankind to have from the beginning, power and dominion over all the earth, so you could enjoy all the blessing and the favor without losing your mind. God will give you so much more if he knows you're not going to lose your mind. And he would give it to you quickly. God requires, but by faith, we qualify to be filled. It's his will to fill. We don't qualify for his will. His will is there. We don't qualify and make ourselves clean through do anything we do. It's through Christ. It's through the cross. Said, finished, done. It is finished. But what you do qualify is to receive what God freely gives. You should not put new wine in an old wineskin. It makes things worse. You lose both. God doesn't want you to lose. He wants you to maintain. He wants you to have a mind that's superior to your natural mind. He wants you to have a consciousness that's superior to your rational way of thinking. God will give you superior intelligence. Adam had superior intelligence. He could look at a creature he had never seen before and extract from God's mind, just like the woman extracted virtue from Jesus when she touched the hem of his garment, and know what God was thinking. Could know the mind of God. Jesus said, surrender yourself to the mind of God. Jesus said, that's what I do. He said, listen, I'm a man as you are, tempted in every way as you are. But what I have done is I have received superior intelligence because I came for one reason, to do the will of the Father. Then he said this, I know what the Father is thinking. I know what the Father is saying. For this purpose, I have surrendered myself to the hand of my Father. It is no longer I that does the work. It is my Father that does the work through me. Jesus didn't wrestle doing the will of the Father. He had superior intelligence. His intelligence surpassed the vanity, the apparition, and the distraction, and the deception of the flesh. And he had to do it to restore you back to what Adam and Eve freely gave away. And he did it, and he did it for you. We are the redeemed, we are the restored, we are the empowered, we are the chosen, we are the called of God, highly favored of the Lord, blessed of God. And the vehicle, the instrument, the conduit that God exercises his will through is your will. Your will is a surrender. You're an empty vessel. God will fill you with his will. You won't wrestle against temptation the way you have. You have one thing. You have one no in your life, and you have to surrender that. You shall not be God. That's what he said. You want to keep all the other nine? You shall not be God. Satan? You shall not be God. Satan, you shall not be God. Jesus said to Peter, Satan, you are not God. Satan, you're not speaking from God. He called Peter Satan. Considered him the same. Why? Because Peter acted like God and he wasn't God. You shall not be God. Get thee behind me, Satan. Listen to what he said. You're thinking the thoughts of man and not of God. Whether he was doing it out of a kind heart or not, Jesus said, that is, you shall not be God. It is written, you shall not have any other gods. Nor shall you create an image out of your will, making yourself a god. Religion is proficient at doing that. Tradition is proficient at doing that. We do things the way things work for our pleasure, for our will. God sends Samuel to anoint David as king while Saul is still in kingship. And God sends Samuel and he says, go and find the man I have anointed. Samuel looks at the brothers, and Eliab, he looks and he says, this has got to be the guy, because the guy is just big and strong, and I mean, he has to be king. God said, do not look at the outward appearance, because that's not what I see. That's not the way I see. What is God saying to Samuel? Samuel, think like God, but you are not God, but you can think like God. You can walk with the favor of God. You can know the mind of God. You can be in unity with God. But the first commandment is the only commandment you need to keep the other nine and everything else that God has said. Have no other God before you. Or do not be the God that is before you. What does that mean? Jesus said it. He said, not my will, Father. Your will be done. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's on his knees and he's praying and he says, this is my prayer. And this was the prayer that empowered Christ to go to the cross. This was the power. Father, if it be your will, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Here it comes, the lo. But lo, my will, your will. Not my will, your will be done. Not my will, and mean it, your will be done. Not my will be done. And from that point, he was empowered to do exactly what he had to do. In the garden is where Jesus took the first victory, a power that gave him the authority to go to the cross and do what he did. He's inquiring of the Father, is there any other way? Is there another avenue so I don't drink of this cup? But not my will, your will be done. God is saying to you, there's one thing. You have to say, God, not my will be done. Your kingdom come. And God says, on this are all the blessing of the Lord. You keep that one commandment. Only God is God to me. Only God is Lord to me. I know the thoughts of God. I know the mind of God. God is giving this generation a superior intelligence. It's called the discernment of the Holy Spirit. It's called being filled with the power of God. It's called the spirit of prophecy and wisdom and revelation. And God has promised it to us. The serpent didn't really lie in everything. He did tell her. She just didn't hear what God was saying. What he said is, your mind is about to be altered. You're going to know evil, and you already know good, but you will know that you have chosen evil. And in the day you do, you will surely die, God said, and they surely did. Today, God is saying, I've given you life. I've given you my word as my will. And I've given you the power to discern between right and wrong, between good and evil. Spirit of God is saying to us today, it is time to discern by the Spirit. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. Today, I am excited to celebrate the no. I don't like what I'm looking at. It doesn't seem pleasant to me, but I know looking at pleasant things isn't what empowers me to walk in the pleasantness of your will and your word and your Spirit and your power. It's your no to me. So God, I celebrate the no that you bring to me, because nothing can come to me except you bring it to me. And God, you're asking me, what are you going to do? Are you going to cry? Are you going to be upset? Are you going to complain? Are you going to worry? Or are you going to say, God, I celebrate your no, because if it comes from you, only blessing can come out of the no. Only blessing and favor can come out of the no. I'm going to take this time not to try and change your mind, God, but I'm going to celebrate the no, knowing that that's your finger pointing to endless yeses and amens. Is there a no in your life today? I'm asking you, is there a no in your life? Is there something that you say, God, I wish you'd said yes? Don't try to change his mind. Jesus didn't try to change his mind. Jesus said, if this cup can pass from me, God, let it be so. And he said, but not my will. I hear my will. Jesus said, it's not me. Do you see what Jesus did? He being God, the word says, made no reputation for being God, but humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. They said to him, good master, and he said, don't call me good. We're talking about the Son of Almighty God. Listen to him. Listen to what he's doing in his body. Listen to what he's doing with his temple. There is none good but one. That is my Father. Do you see what he did? We're talking the Son of God. What was he doing? He was bringing back dominion into the earth. So you had the power of no. And you could celebrate it. So you knew how to say no to your will and yes to his. Not so you didn't get what you want, but so you get what he's chosen to be the best for you. So you don't get what is going to hurt you, harm you, deceive you, destroy you. You get what he said. What are you going to lose? What is it you're going to miss in obedience to God? He said, I've given you dominion over all the earth. I've given you every good thing, everything pleasant to the eye. You're not wanting pleasant and pretty. You're wanting death and ugly. What you want isn't attractive. It's ugly. It's death. It's rotting flesh. But what God has for you is good. It's pleasant. And it will keep you. The blessing of no is the power to countless, endless yeses that remain. God's favor, God's will, God's word, God's wisdom. Would you worship with me? Stand to your feet for just a minute. Father, we praise you. We love you. We thank you. We adore you. We seek you. We worship you. Father, we thank you for the no's. No kill, no covet, no lie. Thank you for the power of no. And no kill means live. And no lie means truth. And no covet means you have more than enough. No images mean you're the true and only God in our lives. We don't worship our will, we worship you. Your kingdom come, your will be done. As in earth, so in heaven. God, we praise you. We worship you. There is so much coming. So much right at your doorstep. You don't see it. Because you have to celebrate a no. And you have to mean it. If you'll celebrate the no's in your life, God will show you the yes. Absolutely. The whole point of the tree in the garden was to give Adam and Eve dominion so they would never lose their estate there. They would never lose their power. They'd never lose their privilege. They'd never lose their position, their favor. Jesus Christ said, I am that favor. I am that will. I am that blessing. I am that peace. I am that joy. I am that corporation, that company, that whatever it is, that business, that church, that family, that friend, that whatever it is, God says, I am all of that to you. But get excited about the no's. Because then the yes and amen, it's not even around the corner, it's right there. In the garden, the word describes the trees, basically in the center of the garden, side by side. God's saying, you want all of this? Celebrate the no of that, and you can eat freely of the tree of this. See, the tree of life isn't what gave them power. The tree of life is what kept them alive. The tree of life isn't what made them right. We know that because God said, put an angel there because if they eat, they'll be evil and they'll live forever. They'll live forever. Didn't say they'd be wise, that their mind would be changed, or that things would be restored. But the tree of no was the power in the garden. The tree of no was what empowered them to the blessing of the tree of life. Think about it. The tree of no in your life is what blesses you to the tree of life. Celebrate the no, and you have all the yeses and the amens. Celebrate the no, and you can enjoy all the yeses and amen. This is the greatest season of your life. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands and praise. Give the Lord a free will offering today. Give Him a free will offering of praise. Come on, lift your voice. You worship Him. Give Him a free will offering of praise and thanksgiving. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the no's you brought into our lives. Certainly, God, you have brought in countless yeses. But we thank you for the power of no. Thank you for the wisdom to celebrate the no. What you say, don't do. It's not for you. It's a no. Not. Do not do. God, in you, we say we praise and celebrate you, Lord. We celebrate the no. You cannot miss the yes. You will never miss the yes. if you learn to celebrate the no. The yes and the amen is confirmed. And Father, we give you praise for it. Lord, we thank you for this house. God, I thank you for the earth and what you're doing in the earth today. I thank you, Lord, that you've awakened your people to an understanding of your will, that you'll give so much and increase so much. You have to celebrate the no's. It looked like they said no to this, and they said they're taking this, and that's going away. And celebrate! If your steps are ordered of God, what is it about that you don't have to celebrate? Why wouldn't you celebrate? If you will celebrate what looks like a not or a no, God will show you the yes and the amen. What is it that God cannot give you? What can God not restore to you? Isn't your entire life a life of restoration? Hasn't God restored you? Don't think, I've done this and I can't be restored. I've not celebrated the yes and the no's. I've only celebrated the yeses. Right now, this is the day. You've not gone too far. Right here, right now, celebrate the no. God said you said not to do it. Yeah, God, I did do it. But I'm celebrating the no now. I'm walking in the no. They said we're taking this from you and that's going away. We said, God, what you have and what you have for me cannot be taken. You have blessed me and you have assured me and you have covered me and kept me and you keep me. I celebrate, Lord, what you have given, for what you have given cannot be removed from my life. But Lord, you will increase me in the understanding and the blessing of this garden that you've given to us. We are standing in the time of a prosperous, flourishing garden in the earth. This is an eventful time of celebration. Don't delay celebrating. Celebrate your battles. And watch how things change. Celebrate your battles. Watch peace overwhelm you. You'll take on a mind that you wouldn't have known before. You'll be able to see right through a stone wall and see the blessing of the Lord. God said, Caleb did it. Caleb said, I can see right through that wall. I can see right through the strength, those mighty men. I can see right through them. They're all saying, we can't do it. But I'm saying, I'm celebrating the army. I'm celebrating their greatness. I'm celebrating how strong they are, how thick the wall is, how high it is. I celebrate it because God is with you. He said to Moses and the people, the word said, he stilled them with his faith and his celebration. We are more than able. We are more than able. There was a celebration going on in Caleb's heart. God, I'm celebrating what looks impossible. I'm celebrating what looks like will never happen. I'm celebrating because I'm celebrating you. I'm celebrating your word. I'm celebrating that my steps are ordered of you and that you delight in my way because I delight in your way. The favor of the Lord consumes me. We need to break away from the warfare mentality. It's a lot more pleasant and joyful to celebrate. When David had incurred the disfavor of the Lord because he counted Israel dependent upon the strength of men and how many horses and chariots, and the prophet said, no, David, no. David decided to do it anyway. Countless thousands died. David said, I know what to do. I have to celebrate. I have to celebrate this time. Went down to Ornan, and the man said, I'll give you everything that you need. The ox for the sacrifice, the wood that yokes the ox, you can have it all. He said, no, this is a celebration. I won't take anything and offer anything to the Lord unless I pay the utmost price. You see, this is a celebration unto the Lord. And the hand of God was stayed, and David fell back into favor with God. It's in your celebration. Your victory is in your celebration. So take care to what God has placed in your hand, where you are. Stand strong there. Stand fervent there and celebrate the blessing of the Lord. Don't contend in your mind. Celebrate the blessing of the Lord and He will tell you what to call it. He'll tell you what its name is. God, we just celebrate this time. You brought this to me because you want me to celebrate the no. You want me to be thankful for the no way, or uh-uh, or don't, or not. I celebrate it, God. I know I wanted it this way. I didn't want it that way, but this is what stands before me. What am I going to do? I'm going to bring in the year of Jubilee. I'm going to celebrate the blessing of the Lord. I'm going to celebrate the favor of God. When the death angel passed by, God said, put the blood on the doorpost, which represents Christ. Go in your house and eat your unleavened bread. And even though it's unleavened, I want you to celebrate and worship me. In the midst of death, God will bless you if you will celebrate the will and the word of the Lord. God's will is being done today. God's word is coming forth. God's will is being done. God is having His perfect way. God is being glorified through your worship and your celebration. He said, didn't He say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on. God's favor is pursuing you. And we declare, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord our God has spoken. The blessing of the Lord preside over the earth. The earth is redeemed through Jesus Christ. We are redeemed through Jesus Christ. Redeemed. Brought into favor with the Father. When a man's ways please the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with Him. Father, we celebrate You. We celebrate Your goodness, Your greatest joy, Your greatest peace. The greatest days of your life are in celebrating when God says no. Because it's not your will, it's His will. And you're celebrating His will over your will. That's taking dominion. And that's where the blessing of your life on the earth is. I will bless the Lord at all times. Your praise shall continually be in my mouth. And Lord, I worship You today. God is saying to this body, I want you to discern my will, not your will. Discern what I'm saying and what I'm doing. Can't you believe that the Lord is directing your steps? Can't you believe that the Lord has gone before you? Will you believe that the Lord is before you? Will you believe that God is directing your steps? Will you not fear the past as though you were fearing your past sins? Will you declare of the Lord, God is with me? You're not going to repeat the past. You're going to celebrate a new future. This is the greatest season of your life. We're not walking. Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me. You have to put it behind you. And you have to forget it. And you have to say it's time to do things a new way. This is the dawning of a new day. This is the dawning of the celebrating of the Lord. This is the dawning of God's favor in my life. Call it out. Prophesy it. Declare a thing. In these days, says God, you will prophesy. You will declare the will and the word of the Lord. In the latter days, there will be an outpouring of God's Spirit. These are those days. Peter acknowledged it. He said, this is that which was prophesied by Joel, saying, in these days, we will prophesy. Prophesy. And remember, the Lord remembers His word. And He will bring it to pass. Build your communities according to the kingdom of God, by will, wisdom, and favor. And the Lord will establish and secure it. Celebrate the no's. And the Lord will secure the yeses. Celebrate what God is doing in your life today, no matter how turbulent it may be. Know the Lord is your God. Don't give credit to any other power. There is no power but of God. And those powers which be are ordained of God. We're going to do it right in the earth this time, y'all. We're going to celebrate this time when there's wars and rumors of wars. What did he say? He said, don't be afraid. He said, look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Celebrate. This is our time. What are you going to wait for? When the world tells you it's time to celebrate? When the things around you say the Lord has blessed you? Or when your faith says God has blessed me because He has my will. I have surrendered it to Him and He has given me His. I celebrate the goodness and the blessing of the Lord. What did the psalmist say? What did David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. In the presence of my enemies, You anoint my head with oil. I celebrate with joy. My cup runs over because only goodness and mercy can pursue me all the days of my life. Only good can happen to you. And we declare it all in the name of the one and only risen Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody in this house shouted,